Okay, good evening. Right, we're in terms of the Gemara's Daf Mem Daled on the base. We're going to see Be'ez Hashem and wrap it up this evening just with the Sif Zayin we had to do. In Simon Shem Tanach Beis, Sif Zayin. So before we go into that, let me just mention again what we mentioned at the end of the last share, the noisy share. And that was the following. The Mishnah Berurah was trying to figure out how to square Halacha He with Halacha Bo. In Halacha He, we have the Mechaber paskening that if it's likely that the people who are asking to make the Mechitza, if it's likely they're going to realize what's going on, then you can't, don't use them for a Mechitza. What's that referring to? Such as the case where you've already used them before. You've already used them in the past. Same person using them, same people a second time, it's likely they're going to twig, don't do it. So he says, well, why, what's the problem? In Sif Vav it says, it doesn't matter if they realize, right? If initially it was done Shalila Das, who cares if they find out? So the Mishnah Berurah says the klal is that you have to ask yourself, the way Mishnah Berurah learns it, you have to ask yourself before you go and ask them, is there any reason for me to assume they're going to realize? That's the question you have to ask yourself. If there's no reason for me to assume they're going to chab, go and ask them. If there's reason for you to suspect that they will chab, you're not allowed to ask them. That's it, that's the rule. In Sif Vav, we're talking about a case where there's no reason for me to assume they're going to chab. So I asked them. It turns out they did chab in the course of events. So what? There was no reason for me to assume that was going to happen in Chatzchila. Masha'enkin is if, hey, there's every reason for you to assume, there's good reason for you to assume they're going to Chatz, because you've already done this with them the previous week. Even the previous week, Kolshkin that week. Right? To ask the same people to move to the front, of course they're going to Chatz. He says, Oy Bazoi, then when you've got a walking Mechitza, got a movable Mechitza, then there's every reason for you to Chatz, for them to Chatz. Right? Hogufa, that was the Taz. If you remember, the Taz answered the question of the Rosh without Yesod. The Rosh was the one who asked, why didn't Rav Chisda just use a movable Mechitza of people? If there weren't enough people to get that last bit, so Tosis says, well, get the people in the back to come to the front. No, don't do that because they're going to Chab. Like we're saying, that would be a problem. Okay, so get a movable Mechitza. Says the Taz, same answer. Because if he's walking with them, of course they're going to chab. They see, you know, they see Rav Menashe,
it's not necessarily any different from standing still. If you ask them to stand in rows, I wonder why you ask him to stand in rows. If on the other hand, the Rebbe is walking, he's talking, if you like, Torah to them, they'll just stand around him on either side to allow him to walk in between them, and they'll move. They won't necessarily chab, probably won't chab. I don't actually agree that by walking you're going to chab any more so than if you're standing still.
Because of what we're going to say, it will all be answered anyway. But this is what he says, that if they're moving and they see him moving with them, he's walking in the middle there, they'll chab what's going on. So what's pshat in the Mechaba? The Mechaba says that a movable Mechitza is good. Says the Mishnah Berurah, we're talking about a case where they won't chab. Why wouldn't they chab? But why wouldn't they chab?
Because they're listening to some Dvar Torah.
Okay, so you can make, in other words, it could be, in other words, a case, he says, either a case where they're, I didn't tell them to come and make a Mechitza, they're in a court, they happen to be there anyway, so they don't chab what's going on. Or, there's so many people there, they're not going to chab that he's walking with them.
But, you know, what would happen if they are all Talmidei Chachamim, and they've learnt the Gemara 10 times, and they've come across this before, and if you ask them to do it, they know exactly what you're doing.
Then you wouldn't be able to do it.
But then you'll never find anybody. But you'll never find...
Unfortunately, if they're all fortunately...
Hey, Robin.
I tell you what, do a survey, ask around the
I'm not... Okay.
If they're all Talmidei Chachamim, they'll tell the person asking them, haven't you done the Gemara and Eruvin? You
that's
can't do that.
Then have somebody else, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
really recommended anyway, isn't it? So shouts out to Khalifa.
We said that, didn't we?
We're going to
kind of come to that.
Yeah. Levi said what we said. I don't know if you see. I'm not absolutely certain if this is the Shabura had to take on this as well. But I don't see that there's necessarily a steer between Sif Vav and Sif Hei to start with. And that is because in Sif Vav, the way we explain Sif Vav, the makar of it is the Ritzvah. And we said the vort over there is because the Isra is in the making of the Mechit. So all he's saying is Sif Vav is, if when they came there initially with Shalei Ladas, even though they realized afterwards, so what? The making of the Mechit was done Shalei Ladas. So according to Rashi, no problem. Because the Bona has been done. That was Shalei Ladas. It's Shalei Kederach Binyan. Who cares what happens now? According to the Rabbi Yonason, the whole vort of even without an Isra Bona, but the Mechit was done B'mezid, so it doesn't get a shame Mechit. It wasn't done B'mezid. Who cares what happens afterwards? The only one who could maybe clear that it does matter if it happens afterwards is, you know, with Zilzan and Shabbos and all of that. Okay, that, but the Ritzvah who doesn't necessarily have to go with that, he can go with the Rashi, he can go with the Rabbi and the Yonason and finish. So the Makar for Sif Vav is the Ritzvah, and that's the vort, it's at the time of the making of the Mechitza. Then, now, in Sif Hei, what he is saying is, that if there is reason for us to assume that they will chap, right, meaning to say at the time of the making of the Mechitza, not subsequently, at the time of the making of the Mechitza, then don't do it. Because it's going to be a problem. Now, why would that be?
A moving Mechitza.
What?
A moving Mechitza. We say that every time it's been...
Come to a moving Mechitza in a second. No, you only used them last week.
Ha, right.
So then there's reason for them to chat. What's going on here? Don't do it a second time. The same trick's not going to work twice. Finished. That's what's going on.
I would have thought if they're not knowledgeable, if the idea is that they're not knowledgeable, they haven't been, you know, they're not learned people, and you ask them to do it, there's no reason why they should get, you know, why they should think that they're being used as a machitza. I don't think so.
That is, to my mind, that is what's going on. See, if hey, see, Bob, that's it. It's to do with the time of making the machitza. It's not that I have to make a cheshbon plan, you know, the chatchila is there for me to believe or not. It's not to be the chatchila and, you know, the special thing that if there was no reason for me to believe, then it doesn't matter what happens afterwards. Yes, it will. If there was reason for you to believe beforehand, there was no reason for me to think that they would chap. If they do chap, when you're making the mechitza, of course it's a problem. Yeah. Right? The only difference will be, maybe as it happens, is that vort of kolodas we spoke about, one of the vorts of kolodas, yeah, is you won't always know. If there's reason for you to suspect, that was one of the pshatim of kolodas. You remember? I think it was the Maharam. Kolodas means because there's a good chance that they've chapped, they may have not said anything. But there's every reason for you to think they probably, somebody's chapped here, because it's the second time you're doing it, and if somebody is likely to have chapped. So don't do it, the chatzchel. Yeah. But the mitzvah, that is the vort. It's not to do with, well, there was no reason for me to think they would realize. Well, they did. If they realize, then the mechitz is no good. Whether it's because it's nakadarach binyan, whether it's peshat because of you know, zilzal. I mean, zilzal maybe you could say, okay, the chatzchila, you know, I didn't do anything. My father's new, maybe you could clear out. I don't believe you have to come on to that. I don't think that's the vort. I think it's to do with the time of the building of the Mechitza. If when they came, it was Shalei Ladas, not that I made the cheshbon, I didn't think it would be Ladas. The Lashon of the Mechaba is, they came Shalei Ladas. Even though afterwards they reached you, so what? B'shas la'asiyas ha'chitza, no one knew. What's the problem? In Sif Hei, he's saying, if it's Korah Vazor that they're going to realize, at the time of the Mechitza, not afterwards, I don't care what happens afterwards. Right? Like people have been asking. Right, the whole way along. In the case of Nehemiah, according to the Rambam, we say Yesh Misha Omer. We're going to see the Rambam today, Be'ez Hashem, and the Mechaber. It's a problem even if Nehemiah is going to realize. Well, of course he's going to realize. Do you got any inkling of a suspicion that he's not going to? Of course he's going to chab. It's to do with Bishas Asiyas Amechita. That's it. Now, you got a question. What about the movable Mechita? That 100%. In the same way as the Me'iri, The Meiri said that it is a problem with a movable mechitza, and we said Peshat is because it's inevitable they're going to chav. So what do you mean it's inevitable they're going to chav? The Peshat is that with every step you take, you're remaking the mechitza. That's the way we explained it. So therefore, at some point they're going to chav, because you see him walking along with them, of course they're going to chav. That's why it doesn't work. So what about according to the Mechaber? So according to the Mechaber, you have to say one or two things. Either you do something like the Mishnah Berurah has done and says, okay, we're talking about Azar case, theoretically a movable Mechitza is good. But it has to be in the case where they're not going to chav. They're not arguing in the Halach, they're arguing that it's just different Messias. Or we can say a bigger Chedosh, and that is that according to the Rosh, according to the Mechaber, that no, when they come into position, that is the Mechitza. You're not remaking the Mechitza with every step. It's a fixed Mechitza which is on wheels. And that's not remaking the Mechitza. It's a movable Mechitza. And therefore, once the Mechitza is in position, that's the Boina. It doesn't bother me if they cup afterwards. And that would be the Machlekes between the Meiri and the Rosh. Either it's an actual Halachic Machlekes, meaning to say, the Meiri says, no, it doesn't work because the movable machitza is being recreated with it with every moment, and therefore it's a problem. That's one possibility. Another theoretical item that's much more than the Meiri is that, whereas the Mechaber holds, no, it's a once-off making of machitza, so it doesn't bother me what happens afterwards. Possibility number two is within that we could say that, you know what, even the Meiri holds that it's not recreating the machitza. I don't think this is much more than the Meiri, but it's not recreating the Mechitza, but he's worried that he does bring after the Ufsha Milsa and things like that. So it does matter if they chop subsequently. No, that's whereas the Mechaber is not worried about that, as he says in Seifor. That's a potential other way of explaining it. But there's a third way of explaining it, which is what the Mishnah Berurah does and says, okay, they're talking about different cases. Different cases, one where they will chop and one where they won't chop. I'd be more inclined to go with the first two. Okay, as I said, these are the possibilities.
So what's the second possibility?
Second possibility is to say that everyone agrees that it's a movable mechitza. You're not recreating a mechitza. Talking about recreating a mechitza. The problem is though that the Meiri would hold, like the Maharam, that if they subsequently realize, if as they're going, even after the mechitza has been created, he disagrees with the Sefer. He disagrees with the Litva. He holds like the Maharam. The Mordechai brings the Maharam, who says if they subsequently realize, it's also a problem. He said the reason would be because of something like Upshal Milsa or something like that. So maybe the Meiri is worried about that as well. But the problem is the Loshen of Meiri is not Mashmah, because his Loshen is a movable Mechitza is not a Mechitza. That doesn't make sense if it's Upshal Milsa. Upshal Milsa doesn't mean it's not a Mechitza. That Loshen is not Mashmah.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mashmah more like the Rabbeinu Yonasan. Or theoretically Rashi, he doesn't bring the Rashi, so it's more likely Rabbeinu Yonasan or something like that. And therefore it's a din in the making of the Mechitza, and every step they take is recreating the Mechitza. Whereas according to the Mechaber, you could say the Mechaber holds, you're not creating a Mechitza with every step, it's once off, and then it's just a movable Mechitza, so who cares if they realize afterwards, like he said in Sefer. Okay, you've got the different possibilities there. Habay Cher Yivcha.
So, according to the Mechaber, it says movable Mechitza, it's not recreated. Is there any greater danger of a movable Mechitza then? Because people are more likely to see it. Because it's after the event, so it doesn't really matter. After the event of having created it.
According to what we're saying, he quotes this Shit of the Rambam, Yesh Mishaimer, Shelo Yamid Oisom Odom that the person who actually wants to make use of this mechitza, he shouldn't be the one to ask them to stand in position. Rather, you should get somebody else to do it. Somebody else should get somebody else to do it, because he's not supposed to know about it, yeah? At least in the time of the making of the mechitza, he shouldn't know about it.
Somebody's always going to know about it.
Again, that's why we said, not the person who's in the Mechitza and not the person who's going to make use of the Mechitza. Those are the people who can't know about it. The person who's organising, of course he knows, that's Rav Chisda.
So is that what we're, is this just reflecting that point?
Yes.
I assume that the Rambam comes out Rashi then, that it's going to be, because the person who uses it will know about it at some stage quite. So you could assume he comes out Rashi rather than Ufsha Milsa. Because after it's already established.
So we said like this. We said that in terms of explaining the Rambam, on the face of it, we started off, we said, Pashto sees learning out of Shunas or Zuz or Shabbos or something like that. Because otherwise, who cares if. Who cares if Menasya if he knows about it? What's the difference? He's not the one building it. He's not one of the building. Well, what's the problem? When you go with Rashi, when you go with the Rabbeinu and
something,
that's the question. What would be the understanding behind it? Rather than what I'd be Zilz and Shabbos, something like that. It's either the people who are building it or the person who's benefiting from it. That would be the issue. The problem is though. That you then have to place a little bit of a limitation, and that is to say, okay, that's only the zilzal or whatever it is only the time of the making of the mechitza, not subsequently. Because like you said, it's inconceivable that he's not going to know afterwards.
Yeah.
Kimat inconceivable. Yeah. That's one thing. Okay, so you could say even if you go within zilzal, it's only bishas there. You don't have to go.
That's a limitation of zilzal.
Okay, you could say that, but it's not mukach to say there's a problem afterwards. That's the way we explain to the Mordechai. Going to the Mordechai, that's the only way we could explain it. What is the problem if they realize afterwards? We said if you go with Rashi, it doesn't make any sense. If you go with the Rabbeinu Yonasan, it doesn't make any sense. Because B'shas Asiyah, that's the issue of Bainah, that's the issue of Mechitza B'mezid. The only sense we can make of it is if you go with the Zilzul of Shamilsa, that sort of thing. So then, potentially, it could be a problem afterwards. It doesn't have to be. That's the Maram's position. The Rambam may disagree with it. Or the Rambam may make a chiluk between the person who's benefiting and the people who are making the Mechitza. Maybe there's one more than the other. I don't know. You could. But in the end, we said not like that, if you remember, in the Rambam, because we had the other question on the Rambam to deal with, and that was from Sukkah. Yes, in Sukkah, he doesn't seem to place this limitation. In Sukkah, he only mentions the person who's making the mechitza, who can't know about it. So yes, we had the underlying thing, well, one is the Serach Mitzvah, automatically, that's what that Achrenim wanted to say. But we said a little bit more than that. It does boil down a little bit to that, but we said that there are two parts to the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos. We said there's one which is Issa the Heter. The Gaon Yaakov learns about this as well. Not necessarily with the Ziyukim we made, but this is what he said as well. Because the Rambam says Mutter. It's Mutter to make a Mechitza with people. Ubilvat. Here comes the condition that they don't know about it. So if they do know about it, then it's an Issa. Because Mutter becomes Osa. If you don't have the condition, Mutter goes to Osa. Then he has a separate thing, which potentially you could say is another Ubilvat, but it doesn't have to be. And that is below it. That the person who's going to be mishtamish for also shouldn't know about it. We could learn that. That's not a condition that makes it awesome. That's just, let's try and do it without him knowing. In which case, I could learn that the people who are making it, there is an issue because it's actually burning. Let's learn like Rashi or something like that. Or potentially, like, there are many innocent because if they know about it, then it won't be a mechitza, so it's going to come to an issue carrying or to chumen, etc. The other part is, the chatzchali should know about it because that's more zilzul or something like that. But since that's only zilzul or something like that, it's not something which is necessarily li'ikuvah. Or something like that. So therefore, when it comes to sukkah, we don't come on to that. We only mention the issa part of it, not the zilzul part of it. Because if you remember the way we had the extra chaf, it's not just us. So we could be more makel. We said, yeah, you want to say zilzul? Okay, but there's a countermeasure to that, and that is. Yeah, the still worried about zilzul and yom tov. Look at the next people are going
to kind of
the first
reason. In other words, it's a practical difference.
Yeah, it just makes it because so what? It's a mitzvah. Therefore, what?
Well, we're more making any way to do the mitzvah. We make it easier.
The Gaon Yaakov wanted to say, where did the Rambam get it from? He wanted to say that the Rambam got it from. He said the same etzem idea. He just said that the Rambam got it from the fact that we said it's Kuh Lodas. Where's the Kuh Lodas? So he wanted to say it's not the people who are walking along who's going to, they're going to chab. They're not going to chab. Why would they chab? Second week more than the first week. They're not going to chab.
Yeah.
And the mechitza is ready made. There's no problem there. It's more Robo or the Shamash or whatever, right? Yeah. They're chabbing what's going on. I think he actually says Robo. Robo's chabbing what's going on. And therefore that's Kuh Lodas. Not really a problem. It is if the people know, therefore, that would be a problem. So this is also lechatzchel as a problem. Okay, that was the pshat in the Rambam. But that's what the Mechaber is bringing here as a yesh mi sha'im.
Ushavil says because of zilzul. And it shouldn't make any difference as pshat ma'as.
Ushavil says not zilzul. He doesn't say that. Ushavil says it definitely is something else. Ushavil says that lotion came from the Ram, And he said the problem is that people will make a mistake. They'll think if you can make a mechitza with people, they'll come to make it with Kedem. Zilzal is something else. Zilzal is you're just cheapening Shabbos. You're making Shabbos, you're trying to be clever.
Right, and therefore it's only shaykh when it's been made. Or you can say that it's shaykh when it's been made.
Which one?
If you said it's because of making Kedem.
It's a question of how far Chazal when it's shaykh like a Kedem.
You're linking it to the making.
Maybe.
So Usha Milsa means, is that from the case of a mill grinding?
Usha Milsa means something which is attracts attention.
Right.
Yeah. It does come, that's an application of it, is the case of the grind, that is more of a, like a Shabbos, you know, you're making, you don't want people, you know, thinking. It's also a little bit of what people think, you know, you can hear your washing machine going.
Because there are some people, if you haven't washed that on a Shabbos club, in theory it would be alright.
Yeah.
I don't know if I asked them if they were ever going to do it, but I remember they said something on those lines. It was concerned. I don't remember what the case was.
A lot of these things can change because, like you said, it's not beside the fact that it's a noisy thing.
Yeah.
If it's something which people fine, it makes a lot of noise. There's lots of things, you know, if you've got a noisy air conditioner. It's just a noisy air conditioner, finish. Right?
Yeah.
I told you, I asked when I was in Eretz Yisrael 20 years ago thereabouts. So we didn't want to use electricity, so we had one of these lamps that recharge. You recharge it before Shabbat, and then you leave it on, and when it goes for 8 hours, or, you know, 6-8 hours, whatever, then it kind of starts saying, you've got this voice that keeps going again and again, you know, battery dead, please recharge it. It's like quite a loud thing. So I phoned Moshe Shlomberg, and I asked him, is that a problem with Shabbos? He said, nah. I said, if I, you know, I could put lots of towels on top of it to drown out, and want to be able to sleep as well, but... So he said, yeah, do that. He didn't seem too. I never got absolute clarity with why yes, why not. I know we have had, when it comes to things like Uvdin Dachol, that maybe Ramosha, somebody does give a gather there, right? He says, the question you ask yourself is, if an onlooker is looking, what would be their first reaction? You know, going on a bus. Why is going on a bus? It's better to me. I'm talking about... Theoretically, you don't have to tap any cards or anything like that, right? What's the problem with going on a bus? There's no malacha. They are Uvdin Dachol. Why is it Uvdin Dachol? The answer is, if you see somebody getting on a bus on Shabbos, your first reaction is, you do a double take. That's Uvdin Dachol. If people don't do a double take, right, so going to that second day yonzer,
second day yonzer wouldn't be a problem in Israel for a chutz to go on a bus. There would be no sort of double take.
If I'm not mistaken, I think you're...
Sorry?
A number of years ago, with your children, one of them was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was maybe... I don't know if they were joking about it, but they were told, I think somebody was going there for Yom Tov, somebody from here, and the other one could take them on the bus, effectively, second day Yom
Tov.
Whatever it is, because in terms of the...
I don't remember that.
I may be wrong, I don't know if they were just joking about it. I definitely did it now, but that was something they talked about. But yeah, okay. So let's just take a look at the Mishnah Berurah first, and then we'll see the Ramah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Hikotam Mem Beis. It's five lines down on the wide lines. I assume you got the same layout. Yes, Hikotam Mem Beis. Shalei Amidu Yisam Bechulu. Shekashem Shesok Shalei Yedu Ha'ashim Shema'amidu Yisam Lemechitza. Because just as we require that the people who are actually, you're putting them in the formation of the mechitza, that they shouldn't know. Likewise, the person who you're forming it for his sake should also not know about it. At the time when they put them in position, there you go. Who undo, but after they've been put in position, according to all opinions, we don't really care if he's going to realize afterwards. Which we said, practically speaking, makes a lot of sense. Anything like in Sefov, same thing. They came originally, Shiloh Das, that's all that matters. Finished. And a Yami Dosom Acher, so what should you do? Somebody else should arrange it. But the Rashba disagrees with this. V'data, and he says, Shegamu ba'atma mutzal ha'amidon, he's also allowed to put them in position. V'ein kepeito rakar ha'anosh, and remember, by the way, the Rashba is the one who's quoted to saying the issue is zilzul. So zilzul is only in the people who are actually, who are creating the mechitza. That's where the zilzul is. Not the person who's making it. V'ein kepeito rakar ha'anosh, ba'atma shem din mechitza, the hakpoza is only on, the thing we're worried about is only the people who are actually standing to form the mechitza. Shele yedushu hu amdu lozeh, they shouldn't know that that's why they're there. Ba'im be'el rabba, take a look at the rabba, shekos v'shekein v'gam ken, mashmoz sh'ori poskim v'chein ikka. He says, azai is the mashmoz of the other poskim, no one else says this, according to the Rambam mentions, and therefore that is the ikka la halacha. Now, says the Ramah, to finish off, hagol. Back to the Ramah. The Ein Lasis Mechitzo Shal B'nei Odom. Don't make a Mechitzo with people. Rak Bish'as HaTzorech U'Bish'as HaDchak. This Eitzah is only to be used when you really don't have any other option. V'imshoch Achdo V'Echo B'Rishus HaRabin. And therefore, if one forgot something in the Rishus HaRabin, Yoser Odif L'Hodich Shom Tinoikos, it would be better to take children there, She'yaviu Adobar, that they should bring it along, but a mechitza without a mechitza, melasis mechitza shal b'nei odom, that's better than making a mechitza with people, the shivienu godol, and then the godol will bring it. Even though, when the godol brings it, the maisa there is no melacha being done. When the katan does it, the maisa is doing a melacha.
Yeah. I take it some people take a different view.
No?
No.
The Makar for this is the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara is right towards the end of Yevamos, where you have this case there with the Mafteach, the key that was left in the street. That's where the Gemara talks about getting the child, to get the children to play there, and they'll pick up the key and they'll bring it back. It talks about, obviously it's different with the father. Mishmur is going to talk a little bit about the certain conditions on this. The question is, why do I have to get the children to play there? Get people to make a mechitza and finish. So you could say, Dr. Pilot will probably tell me, because it's not so easy to find people. Right? But, as far as the Shibole Aleket is concerned, he says no. Because if you've got any other eitzah, we don't ask people. Right? So when it comes to the Maisa, where do we find the idea of the people? It's in our Gemara. Well, children playing is not going to help it's not going to help him. If he's stuck outside in his Dalai Lama, children playing is not going to help him. So that's why, with no other choice, go ahead and get the Mechitza.
Where does
Shusharabin
come from?
True to a certain extent.
We had our Rav saying what Motsi Shav among the Shiv. Yes, they're better to have a god, according to one opinion, to have a god or make the kiddush on wine on a Havdalah than to have a cotton to
make
it or
to drink.
To actually make a kiddush.
But then it's different because there was a reason because of kavanah. Maybe the cotton wouldn't have kavanah. I don't know how much kavanah.
No,
the drinking.
No, we're talking about the child. Who, I mean, I had this last night. I had a choice between we've gone to bed already anyway. But under six, so it's a bit young for chinuch lebrochas, right? So that was a bit shaky to rely on that. Mm. So they've got girls, and then the next boy up is 12 and all, he's not far off bar mitzvah. So he's already at the stage where chinuch for avos. So I don't have, so it was a choice between me or him.
What's the problem with 12? Wouldn't be ideal for him?
No, it doesn't help. The eitzah of giving it to a child, when the Ramah talks about giving it to a child,
yes,
it only works if you've got a child who fits two criteria. And that is that let's say a boy. Unless you can make it on beer.
Yeah.
Right, but okay, I wouldn't do that to them either. I wouldn't drink the beer. So it's got to fit two criteria. They have to be the age of chinuch for brothers. Something from six. Whatever that age is, fine. Because otherwise, your bracha is a bracha of atot, because you haven't been motzi him, because it doesn't help him drinking it. Fine, but at the same time, what good is it giving it to him if you're mechuyev and chinuch that he's not supposed to be drinking the wine either? Al chinuch he shouldn't be drinking the wine because he's read al tzaveda. Same reason as you're not drinking wine because of al tzaveda. So then, in which case, he should be drinking al chinuch.
This is a specific case of chinuch here, isn't it?
All the Peskim agree with this, that the Edom, you have to have a child between 6, 7, or whatever it is, and 9 or something, whatever age you say, they have an understanding of the concept
but
of
they
the...
They haven't got the understanding of that they're doing...
No, it's got to be up to an age, the age before they've got the proper... Yes, they know there's the 3 weeks of not listening to music, but they understand the concept, whatever that means, the concept of our babies, you know, over the Beis HaMikdash. You know? I think a lot of adults have a problem understanding that today with all the Italian things people look for. Yes. Right, okay, but that's unfortunately. No, who was it? The goal was the MMS, I can't remember who it was. Somebody asked him, what should he do if he doesn't feel, he doesn't feel the emotions to cry over the Beis HaMikdash? Because he said, you should cry over that. You should cry over the fact that we're so far removed that we can't, that we don't cry over the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, we're so far away from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Al Kolponin, so over there you've got this question. So now if you've got a child who's 12 years old, well, so it's me or him. So you could say, okay, he's a child. So in which case, there it's only chinuch, whereas for me it's a me'ikar din. So that's what some say. Some say it's better for him to drink it. Okay, but it's mutter for both of us. Me'ikar din is mutter. Yeah. So it's just if I can't do either. I can be mekayim the mitzvah of avedus and give up on the mitzvah of chinuch, or the other way around. Well, chinuch in the drabonon or doing the drabonon itself. So maybe I should drink myself. That is the opinion of others say pumfaket. My understanding of why others say pumfaket is very simple, and that is, if you do it, it's mutter anyway. It's absolutely mutter. Halacha l'maaseh, we go with the mechaber anyway. It's mutter. Even if it's the rabbi, you don't have anyone. So what's wrong? If you give it to him, you're missing the whole thing of chinuch. I mean, yeah, you could be mafbir to him because we don't have anyone else. I think I quoted this the other week when they asked somebody asked Rav Schlesinger, that's right, right? Where they came to him and they said, it's something which has, it's got a heksha, it's not the best heksha though, I wouldn't have it, can I give it to my child? So he says, well, you have it, just don't give it to your child. He says, why? He said, because if the heksha's alright, then it's alright, go and eat it, but al chinuch, don't give them anything which is questionable. Because chinuch has to be 100% rock solid. So as well, like, it's a bit like we've had in the past about sircha, that because when they grow up, when it comes to chinuch, don't do anything which is even questionable by you. You understand why you're doing it, sort of thing. For them, Charles, I thought we don't have wine during the week, during the 9 days. Fine. So this is the yisod. We've seen already in the Mishnah Berurah earlier that if it wasn't a rishus harabim. Remember, today most streets are arguably a Karmelis. If it's a Karmelis, it could already be different. Because part of the reason, or maybe the main reason why we're not advising you to do this, is because it's a very dangerous thing to actually do, if you really think about it. It only takes one person to decide, he's fed up with this, he's going home. And your whole machitza can potentially collapse. Few people or something like that, and you suddenly find yourself you're doing an iso kami or whatever iso you're doing. Yeah? So therefore, if you really have no other eta, gesundheit. If you've got some other eta, it's not worth taking the risk. Yeah? I must tell you, it's a big yesod in halacha, which I've over the years sort of begun to understand a little bit better. Sometimes people look for extra chumras, extra hidurim and things like that. And not they're losing out on the ikkah, but by doing it, they are placing a great danger on the ikkah. Right? In other words, I want this hither, that hither, but in the process, because you're taking all sorts of risks to get an extra hidurin, there's a danger that the thing will actually be posel itself, right? You know, for example, I mentioned that this is a very, very extreme example, yeah? But the example I mentioned from a certain brisker who decided, I think I mentioned this here, no? He decided the chumrah, whenever he bought tefillin for the children's bar mitzvah, so what he did is he gave his latest one to the bar mitzvah boy and he took for himself a new one, always an extra chumrah, found an extra chumrah. For the last one, he came up with the best chumrah of the lot. In my opinion, I mean, I've never heard anything like this, but I was told this because I don't know him. That's he said like this. He said, is this discussion about when you give it, if a person gives a get, can you give the get before the ink is dried? The Mordechai brings a machmirim, or whatever you want to put, a hiddur, no, to wait for it to be dried. And Shai is why? Is it because it's nishkan kasav, shiochad is kind, it's not a proper kasav until it dries? Always because it's kasav shiochad is dyed, it's something which you can still forge, and therefore it's a didn't get. Nafkamina being, the chinuch speaks about it. On Shabbos, if a person 2 minutes before the end of Shabbos writes something with a proper ink, I'm talking about ink that is wet, it hasn't dried. So if it's the first reason, he wouldn't be chayav. I mean, it could be, it's a derabbanan, he wouldn't be chayav al tkeisi pashtus, because he hasn't written his al-ksav on Shabbos. If you go out to Ksav, it's a special din in Gittin and these sort of things, where it's got to be a Ksav which is secure. So, the question is, when it comes to Hilchos Safaros, right? Monday and Thursday, you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah, no problem. You've got the local sofa there, standing on hand, he comes along with his thing, you know, fixes it up. Do you have to stand there and say to the killer, sorry, just give it a few minutes till it dries? Or get out of the hairdryer to dry it quickly or something like that. Or just continue with the laying. Rabbi Avadia says it was a very common shayla. He says the minhag was always to lay. You don't have to wait for it to dry. Although he came along, this person, he said, oh, he had a nocha kinesh. Again, it's just discussed, but he decided to put it in the maisa. And he said, let's say you're writing the word, for argument's sake, let's say you're writing the word li. So you write lamud and you write yud. The yud is going to dry in all likelihood before the lamud. So in which case, since you're dealing with tefillin, which have to be written kesidron, you've written the yud before the lamud. So he said, but he made it tonight with the sofa, he's not allowed to write the next letter until the first letter's dried. Okay? So the sofa said, fine, no problem, he'll do it. So what did he do? He wrote a letter, right? Wrote a letter, put it in the freezer for a minute, took it out, wrote the next letter, put it back in the freezer, probably charged the good and proper. And the person who was in charge of dealing with these said the biggest disaster he ever had to deal with. Why? Because when you quick freeze them in the freezer like that, it's inevitable they're going to crack and you're going to end up with possible letters and things like that. That's what I'm saying over here. You're trying to chop something, right? Chop a shitter, which no one in Kali Shol is ever, I'm not Kali, I'm sure he has, he's a Gorgo Choshman person, but I'm saying material thing, that's why no one has it. No one dreamt of doing such a thing. Besides the fact that clearly never, ever had Klal Yisrael ever dreamt up that such a thing could be a problem. But in doing it, what have you gained? The Iker thing you're going to do that. So too over here, 100%. But Epson, like Dr. Fryer, and Dr. Fryer is very concerned about Chinochim and children, it's not good for them, and then the Shomers and the Sofkos are Swar Seitzer. You're right. If I was to do it with people, I can ensure there's no Melacha whatsoever. It's all done by Hetzer. Yeah, but in doing that, because you want to be extra machmir with what's mutter, letting the children there is a mechurah shekamara, it's mutter, if you start with the right conditions. But over here, you're trying to get quite ahead of it, because of course you don't just ask children right, left and centre. There are conditions, it's not to be used just point blank. But there's a big danger in this. If you ask people to stand there, you're only a few steps away from a potential issur d'oraisa. So therefore, don't do it. Said Minister Barali, we said already earlier, but if it wasn't a Rishus Harabim or anything there, it would be more Mako. Because there, the danger is less. It's the Rabbana. And if you've got lots and lots of people there, he said, there's much less to worry about. Because if one or two people move, it doesn't matter. I've got so many people forming the Mechitza. It's not a Mechitza which made up of one person. It's a whole crowd of people. So if one or two move away, the Mechitza is still in place. There's also, these are things which are much less to worry about. Let's take a look at Mishnah Berurah. Last one, Sivkos and Mevdala. Lohelich Shom Tinokes. Yeah, it's about 2, 4, 6, turns on 9-10 lines down in the wide lines. Lower Chantinokus. Vuhu and Adish in Atinuk Yedea, this only works if the child doesn't realize Shechivetze who shall hold it. That the child doesn't realize this belongs to his father. But Anoas Atma, who is coming, Baba also is so, and therefore he's bringing it for his own Anoas. That is a rule very, very important to realize. If you're going to get a child to do something by playing, don't get your own child. Unless genuinely the child is not going to chop, that it's your chayfetz or something like that. If he's going to look and say, oh, I don't know this key, you know, the child recognizes the key because he's played with it so many times, then yes, we are. Don't come along and say, yeah, he's doing it for himself. No, he's not. Chazal say, a child does things, every child likes to make their parent happy. Rather, we want the child to do it because he thinks, oh, he found something in the Rosh Hashanah. If the child knows that this belongs to his father, the child is probably bringing it because he knows it makes his father happy. And therefore, not only the father has to object, if you see somebody doing this, because the person thinks it's mutter, object. Tell the person, tell the child, you're not allowed to do this. All the more so, don't take the child there in order to bring it back. This is even if the child's just playing there and you realize he's picking it up for his father. Culture game, don't take the child there to play around and hopefully bring the key home, if it's the right, if it's the son. But who are then likewise, if it's not his own son, it's somebody else's child. But the child recognizes this chayfet, and you know for a fact, he'll pick up and say, oh, I know who this belongs to. Right? Yeah, I just learned today, we learned in school this week, the mitzvah of Asher Asaveidah. Okay, I'm taking an extreme example. Use a bit of seichel there. It's got to be genuinely the child is doing it for himself. The kol zeh ba'achelim. This is all with regard to other people. Avol oviv mitzvah lechanechoy b'lig erboy. But a father is commanded to be mechanech his child. B'lig erboy and to object him, ura hafrishoy, and to stop him doing the melacha, k'shereir mechal ha-shabbos, when he sees him being mechal ha-shabbos, afilu la'anu as-atma, even if the child's doing it for himself. The afilu b'yisuri di b'yisurim, even with isur the rabbonon, as is written in Simon Shem Mem Gimel. The Kol Shekin Shalei Yerichen Neshama Kedei Shivyenu, all the more so he shouldn't take the child there in order that he'll bring it back. Afira in Achivet Shalei, even if the Chavis is not his, that's what the Afarim says. So let's be absolutely clear over here. This heta of getting another, to get a child there, yeah? We are talking about a case where the child, the father's not there basically. Because if the father is there, he has to object. Even if the child's doing it for his own anor, the father has to object. So rather, with the father's not there, you're standing around and you're thinking, ah, he's about to pick up the key. Or you bring him there, or he'll bring the key. So now, if this is if the key belongs to the father, then don't do it. Stop the child doing it. Even though the father's not there, you are also mitzvah to do, because you know he's not doing it for his own anor, he's doing it for the father. In which case, you're mechuyav to stop the child. If, however, it's not, the key doesn't belong to this person's father. I happen to know as well the child doesn't know who the key belongs to. And therefore I know for a fact the child is going to be doing it for his own, at Hanoi, he's doing it just because he plays around with it, he enjoys it. Then, the only person who would have to object is the father of this child. And if the father of the child is not there, you'd even be allowed to bring this child there in order to let the child play there and bring it in. This, as I said, is very, very important because, okay, this is the case with carrying. People should realize this when it comes to people, very common people use children for all sorts of things. On Shabbos when they've got problems, the lights are off, and they get the child, they put a chair, then let the child play with the switch and things like that. One has to be very, very careful. If the child is of the age of chinuch, it's your own child, you're not allowed to learn and do that. You have to stop the child doing it. So the only thing is the child is very young. The child is very young, so there's no issue of chinuch. But you still have to be careful that the child's not doing it because of you. It's genuinely because the child enjoys playing with the light switch. And even then, it's not an ideal situation.
If it's a shalogi lechinuch and he's doing it for you, there's
again,
it is if a sense
no, then it's a problem.
If he's doing it to you, it's a problem.
As it says that you're doing the melacha, it's your hanaf that you're doing the melacha.
But you can't get hanaf from the melacha anyway. He's doing it, it's like a goy doing it for you.
Precisely, that's the whole issue. Yeah.
It's got to be genuinely the child is doing it for himself, and for himself only. If the child is, there's any reason to assume he's doing it for the father, or can be for somebody else, the child knows it makes somebody happy. It's a problem. And that's even if they're not, it's not for chinuch, you're not allowed to run off from it,
before you can stop him from doing anything else, I'll do it back again and you're left where you were.
People should be very, very careful, because you hear a lot of people say, yeah, no problem, we'll get the child to it. You've got to be very careful. It's like Dr. Freilich has effectively pointed out, it's not ideal to start getting involved in these tricks anyway, you know, teaching the children. You're trying to be mechanic children, even from a young age, before Chinuch, we tried to get them, you know, first out of the Mesogon Shabbos. It's more concerning. Yes, there are cases where you can be Muslim, but you do have to be very, very careful that A, they are, if they're the age of Chinuch and the father is there, he's mechuyav to stop them. Period. And if it's not the father, then a person would have to stop them if they're doing it not for themselves but for somebody else, be it the father or somebody else.
It's the Matan Sarah, and you have no other way of resolving the problem, whatever it may be. I mean,
it has to fit this criteria.
So that the problem continues, as it were, he doesn't Matan Sarah.
Again, unless some cases where there's certain criteria, like there are bonds and these things which we allow, it can come into the thing of the next best thing. But realize it's only because it's the next best thing. We've got certain attainment. Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it with that.
Let's go.